Hello, everyone. It's us. It's everybody. It's us. Welcome back. Hello, welcome back to Relatively Subjective. It's me, George.
And it's me, David.
And we're cousins, we're relatives, and we have subjective opinions on movie-related things.
Hence the name Relatively Subjective.
And we're going to talk about, today's episode is going to be about X-Men Dark Phoenix, which came out 2 weeks ago, but we're a little late recording this. Forgive us!
That's not the theme song for Dark Phoenix.
No, it's like... We'll get into
nice.
It.
Nice.
We'll
cool. get into it. All right.
But before that, we like to talk about stuff we've watched before we see each other again and all that.
Spoiler alert for everything.
You hear a title, just assume that it's going to be spoiled.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about as much as we can talk about that thing.
Yes.
So whether it's a TV show and we're not like all the way through it yet, we'll spoil every episode up until where we are.
We're just talking shit, you guys.
And we hear that you like us talking shit. So yeah. Keep it coming.
Yeah. Let us know what you want us to talk shit about. We'll talk shit about anybody.
Everything. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
Every.
That asshole Greg, we'll talk about him.
Fuck Greg.
Greg is a dick. Anyway, let's not talk about Greg anymore. Let's not give him any more power.
Yeah, he brings me down.
What have you been watching, Dave?
So, I've been actually watching a couple things, but I do want to talk about Moonlight.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix now, and I finally caught it. And it won...
How many times did you cry?
It won stuff, right?
It won
Best
Picture, I think.
Academy Award, or...
Did it win Best Picture? I think it won Best Picture.
I don't know.
Yeah, it did. It was the year that the whole La La Land
incident happened. I finally watched it.
You sound like you'd been disappointed.
No. Oh, my God, no. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
But it was actually really cool because it's something that was obviously very good, but it was done in a way that was so accessible to everyone. And it was very moving and it was very different. And I highly recommend it. I thought it was really fantastic. So the whole movie, I mean, I'm going to spoil it right now for you anyway.
Oh man, I didn't see it yet.
Do you want to?
I
want to
see it.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Every time I get on Netflix, I'm like, I don't have 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it's worth it. I know. I think it's so good.
I know.
So I just want to let you guys know, Metacritic.
Give me a spoiler free review.
Metacritic has it 99%, Rotten Tomatoes 98%. IMDb has it 7.4 out of 10.
IMDb is weird.
Which
don't
IMDb
even
sucks.
Ever, don't ever like go by IMDb.
But like personally, totally 9 out of 10, this movie. 10. Oh my God. Ooh. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Did you cry?
I did cry at one point.
Not the end.
Okay. But even though the very end was very touching.
But it didn't make you cry.
But it did make me cry. There was one point where it made me cry. It was a mother-son moment
made me cry. And that's going to make me cry.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. It gets you.
That's going to make me cry.
And but right yeah, now. It was so good. Yeah. I liked it. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, email us and tell us your thoughts.
Yeah. I'll try and watch it before the next episode so we can talk about
it. It only came out 2016, and obviously it's got all these accolades and stuff, so you owe it to yourself to watch it.
Okay.
Thank you. You, George, and everyone
else.
Okay. That's really it. How about you?
I watched all four episodes of When They See Us. Have you watched any of it?
No.
Oh, boy!
Yeah, I know.
Oh!
I can't.
Good God! History, man, is always fucked up.
Is it history? Or was it like...
Real, I thought it was really happening.
I thought it was it's recent, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's technically history. Like, what we... our intro was history, you know? But I'm not saying, like, it was, like,
so far back
that we were just, like, you know, we forget about it.
No,
it's
this
just,
was,
like
a couple years ago.
It happened in the late 80s, and it was just... the worst thing.
Oh,
and
God.
It really is. And I'm glad they didn't stretch this out. Like, I think it's like a mini series. Each episode's like a short movie. It's not 2 hours. It's like maybe an hour and change each episode. But my God.
Yeah.
It's really like, I feel like everyone should watch it because of its significance and because of the performances are all like really great. But Jesus, man. Jesus. Every time I watched, like, 10 minutes into every episode, I was like, oh, my God. Like, what have I done? But I couldn't stop watching it once I started it.
Everyone that has seen it has always told me how good it is.
Yeah, and it's great. It like, raises awareness of, like, stuff that obviously still happens to this
day where people
get wrongfully convicted of crimes or... they get really severe sentences for something relatively minor. Not saying that what they were accused for was minor, but what like they were punished for and not doing it, that was just like, it's just so messed up. Like, I can't describe to you how hard it is to watch. Like, think of the hardest thing you've watched. Like, yeah. Human Centipede. Yeah. I don't care. This is like
that's exactly really, what I was really say.
Tough. It's real tough. And but you should definitely check it out. I'm not gonna spoil it, even though you could Google it right now because no, yeah. it actually happened.
It. Yeah. No, I'm gonna watch it. Totally gonna watch it.
But Jesus, man, Jesus. Too tough.
Where are you, Jesus?
Jesus, please.
We need you.
I like saying that word. But or that's
Satan.
All I've been.
Anyone, honestly, Satan doesn't matter. It's just come, somebody help us.
I picked up Red Dead for the first time in a long time. It's not a TV show or a movie.
Two or one?
Yeah, two. And played a mission and then shut it off. So that game's long.
That's yeah. I mean, that kind of thing happened to me when I played the first one. I was excited to play the first one, and I got through like 30-40 hours of stuff, and then I was just like, wait, there's more. And I just had to stop, just take a break, and then I never picked it up.
That's again. What Rockstar does. They want to zap your life.
I know, but like, you can't do this. Well, I don't have the time
until the next Grand Theft Auto comes out, and I'll be in my chambers.
I've never played any of those games, so
it's really good.
I know
you owe it to yourself,
but no,
it's one of the achievements in gaming, I would say. But yeah, that's all I've been watching for that week of Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about more in the next episode.
Yep. Tune in.
Because
it's going to happen right after this episode.
But first, we're going to talk about the trailers that happened before this movie.
So I have a story about
a lovely lady.
About
no. Who was bringing up the lovely girls. All the hair gold. Like the mother.
Who was the maid? What was her name?
Alice. How dare you?
I don't remember.
She lived in the fridge.
I thought you were going to say in the oven for some reason. I don't know. Why is that better?
Was her summer home.
I don't know.
What happened in the theater?
So anyway, so in the theater, so I went to go see this movie on Staten Island, AMC 13. I'm calling you out, AMC 13.
Oh, shit.
You're brand new on Staten Island. Fix your AC.
Fix it.
Because that IMAX theater is huge and it's hot. And second,
I can't imagine.
It's disgusting.
A theater air conditioner. Was that's like half the reason to go.
Seriously, it was disgusting. I was sweating. Oh my god! Luckily, there weren't that many people. Also, because I saw it at like 10 o'clock in the morning. But, but whatever.
Yeah,
like,
someone was late to their shift. That's what happened.
Yeah, and I was like, shit, I forgot to flip the switch.
Fuck.
But then, the movie itself didn't start for 15 minutes. The screen, the IMAX screen, was off. There was no projector. It was blank. There was no sound. And two different separate groups of people complained. Before another random employee came in and was just like, oh shit, the movie's not on?
Dude, that was
Greg.
And we
were like, no!
Greg didn't show up for his shift until 15 minutes after your movie started.
So then one of the technicians came in and he was like, sorry, I'll start it right now. But then he started at the very last preview. So I didn't get to see any of the previews except for the last one.
What was the last one?
The last one was It, Chapter 2.
Oh, okay.
So, and we've talked about it. We've seen it. All right.
Well, I mean, I'll go through these. These are probably...
you go through yours because I only saw one.
All right. So, 21 Bridges, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Is Black Panther being a good cop and stuff. And Hobbs and Shaw, you're really excited for that. Spider-Man.
I didn't see Spider-Man for Dark Phoenix, but I saw
You didn't see Spider-Man for Dark Phoenix?
Like I said, there was only one...
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Preview. I saw it for the next movie, though.
I guess I should just talk about movies we've talked about. Gemini Man, Will Smith. Will Smith on Will Smith. Crawl, great.
Oh, the alligator great movie? Yeah, the movie that you're movie. So excited for?
Crawl, colon, the alligator movie. It, too, played The Kitchen, which we talked about. Looks good with with all the ladies. And Stuber, you're really excited for that one, right?
Yeah. Dave Bautista's trying.
Oh, man, there's a really good one, but you didn't see it. We'll talk about it next episode, hopefully.
Okay, what was it?
It's called Ad Astra. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
Oh, David.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it looks good. It's not, like, mind-blowing or anything. Do you want me to tell you what it's about?
Yeah,
or,
tell the viewers.
It's Brad Pitt. He saw Interstellar and was like, I want to do that. So then they made this movie for him.
Oh, so he's Spaceman.
He's a Spaceman, but his dad's a Spaceman. Get this. His dad's a Spaceman, and I think he went missing or, like, didn't come back from a mission, In space. Oh, and his dad is Tommy Lee Jones.
What?
And then, like, NASA's like, we need you to go on this super secret mission. We think your dad's still out there. And then,
where?
And then they're just, I don't know, in space. It's big. And then there's like space stuff happening. Like he's in a rocket. Then he's in space. He's on the moon on a rover shooting like this like gun that's like, it's like could totally exist because it's like not doing anything cool like lasers or anything, but it's like shooting stuff while he's on the rover. So it was like this very grounded.
Is it like space future adventure? Space?
No, it's like, well, maybe like kind of distant future, yeah. Like maybe in like 20 years or something.
Okay,
that's the feel of it. It's very Interstellar-esque, yeah. Right? So you have the middle-aged like guy that was huge back in the day, or like your Matthew McConaughey,
yeah.
And he's gonna be the guy that goes to space, and we're gonna be like, wee. But it looks good. It looks interesting. And the name's cool.
Ad Astra.
Ad Astra.
Yeah, that's going to be significant, hopefully. Yeah,
it's Latin for something like Brad Pitt. I don't know. It's Latin for Brad Pitt.
It's Latin.
In space.
Latin Pitt.
But that's it. That's all I got. And we could talk about the movie now.
All right.
We can talk. Full spoilers ahead, everyone, for X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Full spoilers ahead.
I know you're all excited for this. I know you're all just waiting to see what we think about this movie that we've all been waiting for years. I would say years. Because they've never done the Phoenix storyline.
And this is also four movies in the making. This universe has, yeah. This is the fourth and final movie.
Two out of four ain't bad, right? Like in terms of what's good.
I mean, that's 50%.
Yeah, I guess.
So no, that's failing.
Yeah.
In America.
All right, David. I'm going to try something new here. Describe this movie in one sentence.
Ooh. Okay. You put me in the spot.
Yeah,
now.
I did.
Shit. Let's see.
It doesn't have to be a good sentence.
No,
we can still talk about it afterwards.
It's not going to be. But let's see. Okay. So I would say this movie, Dark Phoenix, one sentence.
Comma, one sentence.
Comma, one sentence. This is going to be the longest run-on sentence ever. I think. Let's see. I gotta get all my feelings out in one sentence.
I can do it for you if you want.
No, don't do it for me. I want to go first because you had time to think of this and I didn't.
Well, I mean, I didn't on purpose, but I got it already.
Let's see. Okay, Dark Phoenix was a good enough ending for this X-Men universe where most of the actors already checked out.
Cool. You want to hear mine?
Yeah.
This movie was dookie, and I know it would be dookie. That's my sentence.
That's cheap.
I used dookie twice.
That's so cheap.
But it's just like this movie. Honestly, let's go over some stats before we continue. Rotten Tomatoes has it at Rotten Tomatoes has it at 23%. Metacritic has it at 43%, and IMDb has it at 6.1 out of 10. We all know IMDb is bullshit anyway.
But at the same time, I feel like I agree with IMDb more than the
other
two.
So this movie is taking place in a universe that's dead, right? In the water.
It's completely
because
dead.
Marvel's got the X-Men back.
Period. No
it's
more.
Over. That being said, I feel like they should have taken advantage of that and made it that, like,
much better.
Fucking put a period on it. Like,
yeah.
End it. End it well.
But
end
they
it
did
nicely.
It.
No, they.
She was flying in the sky.
And they
the
left
end.
It, like, open ended. Like,
why? There's no reason to do this.
Like, I don't even. Like, the only rationale I had was maybe that they're going to try and incorporate this into the MCU with using, like, you know, rip the hole in our dimension bullshit. But I don't want that.
But,
I don't want
them
to
kind
be
of
there.
They kind of already introduced that, though.
Yeah, but what I mean is, how do they go from this where Jean's not there, where who else? Mystique, who bites it in this one.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, she's one of the best parts of the X-Men movies, especially since she's played by Jennifer Lawrence. So if
that's
this
part
was,
of, that's what I mean about, like, most of these actors checked out. I feel like Jennifer Lawrence was just like, just kill me. Like, please, I don't want to be in this movie.
All right,
anymore.
So we had Jennifer Lawrence, we had McAvoy, we had Fassbender, we had the guy that plays Cyclops. Those are the four best ones, I think, like, of this
Ty Sheridan.
Movie. Yeah, Ty Sheridan, the guy from Ready Player One.
And Evan Peters, too. He was,
oh, right, yeah.
He got, like, knocked out in the first one, and he was,
exactly.
Like, and he was done throughout the movie.
Exactly. I was just like, they had to do that. Otherwise, he would have fixed the problems, like, in a second, because he has super speed. Like, yeah, that's the only power you need. And that was just an example of when you nerf someone and don't do it well.
Yeah.
Like, Infinity War did it well by scattering everybody and stuff. This one was just like, oh, she just moved the plank of wood or whatever, and he fell
and
died almost?
Seriously, like, that has happened to him in the past three movies, like, so many times. But this one specifically, he got, like, a concussion.
That's why...
I was like, come on.
That's why First Class was so great when they introduced him. Because it was, like, he literally did what he did that scene. It was like... Oh, no, wait, that was Days of Future Past, not First Class. But, yeah, like, they used him enough that you were like, oh, yeah, I totally believe that they would use him that much.
Yeah.
But if you had a sequel with him and he's part of the X-Men, you're going to use him... for everything,
yeah,
and you got to figure out how to not have him be there. So let's just knock him out every time.
I was, expecting. Well, so even in the scene where he does bite it, did you get the, like,
I don't even know what happened.
Yeah,
to
that's what I'm trying to get.
She like moved a plank of wood that he was gonna step on, but, and then died. Like, but, he fell to the ground and was covered in scabs and shit.
Do you remember the fast motion scene in Justice League when the Flash was running around Superman and then you saw Superman's eyes just like follow him?
Yes.
I wanted that to happen. I was like, okay, maybe she's Dark Phoenix. Maybe she can tap into some sort of speed force. Like, she doesn't need to be constrained to time. But at the same time, we've never seen Dark Phoenix ever exhibit that power before, and introducing it that way would have been cool, but they didn't.
They should have just had her be protected by the Phoenix Force. Yeah. You know, like, he got to her, and then but he it just like, boing. Yeah, just like force field came out of nowhere and fucked him up. Yeah. That would have been more believable.
Yeah.
But this movie was written and directed by, I don't know, I just noticed it at the end of the movie. There was like, written and directed by one guy, and I was like, that one guy just didn't give a shit, because like, obviously, why would you? Like, they were just like, Jerry, you doing anything? You're still an intern? No, you can direct and write this one. And then he's just,
it was written by whatever. It was written by four people.
What?
John Byrne, Chris Claremont, Dave Cockrum, all behind the Dark Phoenix saga, Simon Kinberg, and then taken by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee.
Well, who was the director?
Wait, what Simon, you... Simon Kinberg.
Oh, okay. Well, they only gave him credit at the end. Well, at the end of...
So he was directed by, was Simon, only him, and then the writing credits were given to all of the
That's
rest
weird.
Of them.
At the end of the movie, it was just like, written and directed by this guy. And I was like, who's
Scott.
That guy?
No, fuck Simon. Guy. Simon Kinberg, who did... A terrible job.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I mean, no. Like I said before, I thought this was... For this universe, I kind of thought this entire universe was just okay. It was kind of mediocre, to be honest. There were some parts of it that were, like, really cool, like, in the past movies. And in this movie, there was maybe one part that I was just like, okay, all the mutants are fighting together. That's cool. And then they ended it. And I was just like...
That was the best part of this movie. The best part of the movie, it shined only when you saw the mutants fighting each other or just using their powers the way you'd use them or the way like you want to see them used.
Exactly.
Magneto, fucking everything.
Yeah.
Up. Bringing trains from underground, fucking crumpling train cars.
Yeah.
He loves trains. He does a lot of train
there's
stuff.
There's a lot of trains in this movie.
But like he like pulled like a piece of shrapnel and like fucking sliced people up and like fucking stabbed them. And
even
like,
even the Nightcrawler, he would like foof in and out of time with like that little dagger and just like foof in and slice up some guy's neck and then foof behind him and stab him with his tail. I was like, that was the stuff that we've always wanted to see.
We saw Cyclops not be useless. Like, he
was
actually
for the first
hitting
time.
People with his beams as opposed to shooting stuff every so often and then being
like,
mad at Wolverine.
We had Storm, who was really cool flying and shooting lightning and ice everywhere.
Yep.
She was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Beast was just beastly.
Beast was just being, he was growling every other and doing like weird flips that no one would do ever.
No.
Like those stiff flips, you know? The ones that he's just like,
and I don't obviously remember if they ever explained it before, but he can kind of like Hulk out, like he's a normal person, and then he can just be like blah, and he goes blue.
Did they had some
it?
Serum in Days of Future Past or something. I don't know. I don't think he ever had that kind of control where.
But
he
no,
could
that's
just
not.
Do
yeah, that's
it,
what I mean.
Like on command, but you know, whatever. They play around with comic book logic.
Yeah, I mean that's
Professor X was dumb in this movie.
He was the villain, I feel like, in this movie.
Yeah, but like that's so like, oh man, dude. Like
I always hate how in the Dark Phoenix, like even in the comics, even in the TV show when they did X-Men and they did Dark Phoenix, whatever. What's his name? Professor X is always portrayed as the bad guy. And he's just like, I had to hide. So if you don't know the comics, she had this power inside of her all the time. And he had to lock it away or block it behind certain vaults.
Well,
whatever,
is that the comic book storyline? I thought it would like this whole space thing. I thought was the canon thing. Like there
was it really?
like the Phoenix Force was a like space entity ghost thing. Then Jean Grey was like a powerful host, so it possessed
attached
her.
To her.
Yeah,
and the Deborah. Who were the Deborah?
But I don't know about the whole alien thing. I had no idea like where they came from. Like they needed a villain that wasn't Professor X.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, we would just have the X-Men
fighting
Jean.
The X-Men
again. So I guess they just needed like this, like you know, they needed bodies. They needed people for the X-Men to beat up, and they couldn't
that
do
weren't
robots.
Humans or whatever.
Yeah, they needed aliens. You know, so you don't feel like the X-Men are killing people. You use aliens, and then we're just like, oh yeah, they're
it's
assholes.
Fine.
You know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I didn't read much X-Men growing up, so I don't know the actual storyline. But I remember the Phoenix Force being something that, like, it wasn't like X-Men, the old movies, where she was super powerful and, like, just the blocks kept it at bay. And it was, like, she had, like, a Venom kind of thing, like a split personality.
Yeah, she had an alternate personality that would come through.
That she would fight.
Honestly, during the commercials, when we saw Jessica Chastain's character, I honestly thought that was what it was.
Yeah, like, it was going to be, like, something in her mind, like, telling her to do stuff, and like, that's going to be the Phoenix.
I have a voice that tells me to burn things! Exactly. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was expecting her to be able to fight it. Like, eventually in the movie, she was obviously going to overcome it or whatever.
Yeah.
But she kind of doesn't. She fucking explodes.
I'm so goddamn mad at Jean Grey just being a hindrance to the X-Men.
Yeah, seriously.
She's just, like, always either has a headache from using her powers, or she's fucking the X-Men up. Like, she
was the reason, like, they were splitting up from the inside out. Like, she was the catalyst of that.
That's why I want to see that storyline play out in the movies, where the Avengers make the decision that they need to kill Jean Grey because she's a danger.
Yeah.
And then that's when the X-Men and Avengers fight. That'd be a cool storyline to see play out, but that's like years.
And then even at the end, they, I was really hoping that they weren't going to end it the way that they ended it. The whole, because we've seen this all the time, where there's one power, or there's this like super entity and this other person who wants it, and they have the power to actually take it out of her. And then the way that they die is by, oh no, it's too much power or whatever. We've seen that 100 times.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that that's not what was going to happen, but that's how it ended. And
I mean,
it was really annoying.
After seeing that Professor X had a phone to the president, I didn't have much hope. I was like, like, maybe. They treated this movie like we had the same affinity we have for the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they were just like, the X-Men are loved by all now, and it's all good.
And then
it's
one
all
thing
great.
Goes wrong.
Yeah,
and
we're
just
like,
this phone will not be disconnected.
Yeah,
it's
but...
like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but, like, you know how it's not the same seeing Tony Stark's fame and notoriety in those movies as it is seeing Professor X? Like, when they're like, you're on magazines, you're doing press junkets and all that, it's so unlike the character. And I get, like, McAvoy was doing, like, a great job still. Like, all the people I listed, those four, I think they were doing their best with what they were given, but you can't, like, do much with a shitty script, you know? So he was like, I'm Professor X and I'm a fucking, you know,
trying
I'm all about the limelight
together.
I'm gonna represent all mutants and stuff. And he was never about that. That character was always just about having a haven for these
young people safe.
Yeah, and trying to get the world to accept mutants, but not by, you know...
Logan, bring me a cheese pizza.
Yeah. He's not in this movie.
Nope.
And that's fine.
That is fine.
That is very fine. He wouldn't have done anything. Nope. How did they breathe in space?
You got me.
They didn't even give a shit about that. Like, the details. Storm was like, I'll close up the thing with ice in space, and then... everybody just hopped in the other ship and they were like, fine.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not how space works.
That's not how space works. But then they actually, like,
but then
put
that
space
Globia
on
Nightcrawler. But after the fact?
Yeah.
It was like, what?
He was already in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's not necessary. There's not enough oxygen in there for anyone. He would have imploded.
Yeah. And dude, just like, this movie was so written so half-assed that they, like, in the beginning when, like, the news coverage starts about the astronauts being stranded in space, they literally have a conversation about how the X-Jet can't reach space. And then they're like, yeah, it can. And then they go to space. Like, what? Like, who? Like,
and also,
give it some thought. A little bit.
I hate how they start this movie with this whole rocket going up into space. Like, you know, this is one of the, you know, the pinnacle of science at the time. Like, we trained and we studied for so many years just trying to get this rocket up into space. Oh, by the way, there's a mutant beast guy who created a rocket engine in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's going to go into space and be able to bring your people back. And we're not going to share this information with the government at all.
They want to be treated well by humans, but they don't want to share their jets. You want to share your jets with humans?
I want to share my jets.
You want to share your jets.
With NASA?
Yeah. No, why?
But
why?
I thought that was just a great oversight. I was just like, you had all of the minds at NASA trying to build this one rocket, but then you had this one genius guy create an entire Blackbird, basically X-Jet, that
went up to space, no problem.
Into space within minutes.
Yeah,
it didn't even have a vertical
takeoff. It was like,
it just like,
it
came,
was just like normal plane stuff all the way to space. No fucking straight up. It was just like, whoop, we're in space now.
And like, you know how actual real rockets need like 3 different fuel thrusters or whatever? This same one,
yeah.
Just one straight into space, yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
Into space.
And guys, I know I realize we're talking about science being accurate in a movie, in a comic book movie about mutants, but hey, it's the details.
They set it up.
It's the little details.
It's their world. Yeah. We're just trying to...
We're trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Suspend belief.
And you can only suspend this belief so much before it becomes silly.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie became. Yeah,
this movie really was just not thought out all that well in terms of writing. And
I also, like...
Story structure. Yeah. Like the whole...
even Beast getting mad at him,
dude, like,
was annoying.
Okay, so they were all causing drama for no reason.
No reason.
Like, they were just like, Professor X was... Professor... Like, Mystique died and Professor X acted like it didn't happen or he didn't give a shit. Yeah. Like, he went into the kitchen, he was like, this was the first place I met her, actually. She was standing right over there, now she's dead. What do you think of that? And Beast is just like, dude, what the fuck?
But then he went to Magneto, and Magneto was just like, oh, I'm so in tune with nature, I'm keeping all my mutants fine. And then it's like, Raven died, and he's just like, gotta kill that bitch!
One Fassbender tear came down, and it was over. He wants to murder her. That whole thing, like, the guy was writing, he had a fucking year and a half to write this, he didn't, and he had the last 2 weeks before the movie was going to shoot, and he was like, shit. And then he's writing it, and he wrote up like 30 minutes of it, and he was like, oh shit, I have to put Magneto in this, I forgot. And so he's just like, all right, I'll have Jean go to him because what's the reason? Oh, I don't fucking remember. It's because what? He killed before, right? That was her rationale. She was like, what do I do now that I killed someone? And he's like, dude, we kill people for very different reasons. You got to take that shit out of here because I'm chill in my place here. We set up this colony and we don't want any trouble. I don't know what you want from me. And she was just like,
that's exactly what she did. She was
pouting the entire movie.
She was just like, I'm gonna turn this helicopter on and try to kill all these people, like humans or mutants. Like, she didn't care.
Yeah,
and that was just bullshit. Yeah. I was just like, I was trying to protect you. I literally was just trying to get this guy to leave, and you were just like, no, it was me.
Yeah, and then she flew away.
And then she just flew. Like, why would you do that before?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
It got me so annoyed.
Let's talk about some good things about this movie.
No, I want to talk one more bad thing.
Okay, tell me.
So this is, of course, very nitpicky. It's something that
you can be nitpicky.
I will.
Even though it has such glaring problems,
there's a lot of things to not nitpick about. Mm-hmm. But we're done talking about those things. One of the things that I actually did slightly enjoy versus like it was kind of like it was a double-edged sword. Like, it was good, but it was also bad. Uh-huh. And again, in my own nitpicky brain, was choreography. So I feel like Sophie Turner did her best.
Talking about the beast flips?
No. So I'm talking about Sophie Turner being Jean Grey. I thought she did a great job of acting like she was whatever.
You're talking about this?
Yes. I'm talking about whenever she exhibited any of her power, she did the exact same thing with her, like, 90-degree, like, and she would, like, just, like, put her hands out and move
you
things.
You want some lessons about power and usage? Look at Fassbender. Fucking...
Like, he was shaking. Like, he was, like, fingers squeezing apart. His muscles.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I felt like the choreographer for Doctor Strange should be on every one of these X-Men movies. Like,
anyone that has
to do any telekinesis or any like flowy powers or like whatever, just like
bending
you,
of some
you
sort.
Need to be able to control or like have some choreography or flow to your power. Like, you can't just be like meh, and doesn't look good.
Well, I mean, the character was bad. Like, Jean as a character in this movie was just garbage. But I don't think Sophie Turner made it any better. I think she's pretty bad.
Liked her. I thought that she was.
I don't know.
She was fine.
She was. I don't know. Like, when any scene.
The character
where she was,
itself was terrible, but I think her portrayal of it was as good as we were gonna get.
I guess, man. I don't know. Obviously, even if Meryl Streep was Jean Grey in this movie, like, we'd be like, why is she so old? But also, like, she's doing a great job, but she's not able to do much because she just has to be this pouty supervillain that I don't fucking know her deal, man.
But yeah, and she was like letting her evilness get too much of her. I don't know. It was just
this
was
movie
just a
took
lot.
A lot of swings and missed, like all of them. Like, scenes where that would have been cool to see in a good movie were just like destroyed by the
everything
memory
else
of this
that was
movie.
Going around.
Like the whole crumbling, just burped. It's like crumpling Magneto's helmet on his head. That was cool.
Yeah.
Under different circumstances, making Charles Xavier would have been a very powerful image. Like, making him walk.
Oh my God.
That would have been
a
powerful thing. But because it's in this movie, it was comical.
Yeah.
It was just like, funny. What are you doing? Like, why are you mad at anyone right now? That's what I kept asking myself. I was like, what? Like, I get you're possessed by this force
anger
and
demon.
You just have all this power. And she's like, I'm afraid to use it ever again because I'm going to kill people. But also, I'm going to fucking kill everybody. It's like, what is your motivation here? I don't understand it. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, enough bitching. What did you like about this movie?
So like I said, I did like, although I hated how her powers were used, I did like when she used her powers. Any of mutants, really. Any of the mutants' powers that they were used, I thought was okay. I thought it was fun. The best part was the train scene, the multiple fight scenes between all the aliens and the mutants. Like, it tickled my fancy.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely the part where I was just like, you know what? It would be awesome if all those mutants fought together. And then they did. And I was like, oh, shit, good.
Yeah.
Like, this was a part that actually made me excited to and glad that I actually came to the theater
to see
this movie.
When they all got up at the same time from the restraints
and
stuff,
you know,
and they were like, let's fuck these guys up.
All the powers and the CGI and stuff looked great. They did stuff that, like, they didn't ever do before, and they were doing stuff that, like, kind of made it believe that it was going to be like, we're pulling out all the stops. Like, this is the last one, so we're just going to go fucking for it.
I also enjoyed, other than, like, when they fought and used their powers, I like seeing Cyclops Jean romance, you know?
Mm.
Like, we didn't get enough of that in the old movies.
Yeah.
We just walked in on a relationship that had already existed.
Yeah.
Like, so this was actually watching them be a couple, like, you know, like, tell each other how much they love each other, and it's believable, as opposed to the old X-Men movies where Wolverine shows up and Jean's just like, oh, and, you know,
who's
and Wolverine's just like, and Cyclops is like, So it was just fun to see that, especially since it's one of the, like, key romances in Marvel. I think you have, like, Reed Richards and Sue Storm, you have Mary Jane and Peter, like, Cyclops and Jean are always, like, together, so, you know, that was fun to watch. But, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
I couldn't really get behind anything else.
All the other relationships were kind of, like, either non-existent or just super strange. Strained. That it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, and I wish we had
I mean, it did make sense. It was just, it would feel like it was too pushed. It was too forced.
Yeah, and I would love to see, like, I loved it when Cyclops, Storm, and Professor X were going to go to the mission to go get Jean, and Professor X was starting to treat Cyclops as, like, the leader of the X-Men. He was like, you're going to come with me. Storm, you stay here.
Yeah.
And then Storm's like, fuck you, I'm coming. And then you see that the leadership is starting to form.
Yeah.
At the end, you see Storm as, like, a teacher and all that. And Beast is, like, the headmaster now or whatever. So that's the fun stuff. That's the X-Men stuff I want to see, but not in this universe anymore because, you know, it's obviously gone.
It's done.
I mean,
we're not going to see it anymore.
Especially after
MCU brings
it back. I forget the box office, but I think it bombed. It didn't bomb, but it didn't do as well as they wanted it to or expected it to.
Oh, yes, it did.
Oh, it bombed?
So the budget was $200 million.
Oof.
The opening weekend, it made $32 million.
What was 170 something million?
Yeah,
160 something million. Doesn't matter. It's still a lot of.
That's a lot of money they lost.
Good God!
But I mean, as of June 16th, 2019, the cumulative worldwide gross.
Wait a minute! This just hit me. Wait, go ahead.
Was 204 million, so they did make it back by $4 million, but still, it wasn't that great of a movie.
So the U.S. was like, "We're done with this."
Yeah.
Just hit me. What if they did this on purpose so they could?
Revamp it.
So that Fox couldn't even think about making another one of these, you know? If that's the case, I commend this man these people that wrote this and all the people that were a part of it. I commend them.
I don't think
if that was the intention, if
I don't think it was.
If
that's
Kevin
Feige,
all I'm saying is if Kevin Feige went over, who was the director?
Simon Kinberg.
If he went to Simon Kinberg's house and they were all writing it in this room and he just came with, like, two sacks of money and was just like, listen.
Two sacks.
I read some of the script. It's looking
great.
These
are all singles.
Let's put a phone to the president in there. Let's make Gene unbearable. Let's Let's not make and these two sacks much of money of this are yours. Sense. And now I won't even remember where I put these sacks of money. Oh, left it in your house. Left it in your house. Uh-oh. I'm walking out the door. You do with that what you will. And then we got this. I hope that's the reality we live in.
No, I hope it's not.
I hope we live in my cartoon world that I have in my head. But
we're just Kevin Feige. We'll you can just never like, go know. Anywhere with these
sacks of money. He's like, hey, I heard you're making a Fantastic Four movie. What Let's if I left it? These sacks Let's of money make here?
It a bullshit.
Yeah. Ah. All right. How many painful chest twisties out of 10 do you give?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about the chest twisties.
We didn't even talk about the aliens because they were there for no reason.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. This totally gets a 6 out of 10 chest twisties.
Painful
chest twisties. Like I said, it just wasn't what we wanted. It was the end of a four movie era, I guess, and that's it. It was not impressive. It was some of the scenes were fun, but it just wasn't anything that I wanted. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with IMDb. 6 out of 10 is my final score.
Cool.
How many?
There's a dragon in my room.
Let's see. How many? What's her name? How many Willow Smith mutants out of 10?
Oh, Willow Smith. She was deadly with those. She was like. I'm giving this 4 Willow Smiths out of 10. This was as entertaining as The Rock's Skyscraper to me. Where just terrible things were happening and the occasional cool thing, but not enough to. Keep my interest or entertain me, really. It was a real snooze fest, I'd have to say, because the moments where the mutants were being mutants were few and far between. We didn't see any of the, you know, the chemistry or the family element that the X-Men is for. It was just a lot of just pushed storylines and shitty writing. And the bright side is that we won't see any more of these, and we'll finally see the X-Men in the MCU, and that is enough for me to not kill myself.
No.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Thank you, Forrest. Thank you, Forrest.
Forrest?
Forrest Gump.
That is all. Oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Ten ice cream. All right, everyone. That was our review of Dark Phoenix.
Hope you liked
it. Hope you liked it. Hope you liked the movie, but you didn't probably.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to reach us, you can email us at relativelysubjective@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Relatively Subjective. Please like and share us. And also Twitter at RelSubPod. Please like and share us and comment and email and share us and subscribe us and email and share us.
Did you say RelSubPod on Twitter?
Yes.
Did you say that we were on Gmail at relativelysubjective@gmail.com?
I did.
Did you say that we were on Facebook and Instagram under Relatively Subjective?
Yes.
Did you say that we are now sponsored by Skydance again?
No, because it's not true.
It's not. We're not.
Soon, though. Hopefully, we'll be sponsored by somebody.
Somebody, anybody. Your uncle's butchery. Fine. We'll be sponsored by them. Butchery, is that a word? It is, but it's not like the butcher.
Like, yeah, you go to just your uncle's
the
butcher.
Butcher.
Yeah, you go to the butchers.
If any butchers out there want to sponsor a movie review podcast, now's your chance.
We are accepting.
Get us while we're available.
All right.
Until next time, may all of you. Oh, fuck, I had it. I deleted it again.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Hold on. May all of your dark exes be Phoenix men.
Dark X's be Phoenix men. That's not terrible.
It's not. I know it's not.
Let's see.
Don't fuck this up.
May all your dark men be Phoenix X.
Phoenix X.
Yeah, Phoenix X.
Phoenix X. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.